Gary O'Brien is here with us. Hi, Gary.
Hey, Maryland. How are you?
Thank you so much for joining us today. And, you know, Gary, we're gonna, not only we're going to talk about this, the news and the Grammy tributes last night, but also you've had some personal experience with Whitney Houston when you were running things at the Assembly Hall.
Well, I wasn't running things, but I was doing the marketing.
Right.
I was an assistant director.
Pretty much so.
Just to clarify.
Okay. Well, in my mind, you were running things.
Thank
so,
you.
The concert doesn't really happen without your work, right?
Well, it takes a team, and we certainly had, and they have a great team.
Okay.
To make everything happen. So,
what year was it that she performed here at the University of Illinois Assembly Hall?
First time was 1988.
Okay.
It was during our 25th anniversary year.
Okay.
And I was working on a project for her 25th anniversary. And so I talked to, I was in a room with her management, and she was in for a few minutes and mentioned this project. And this is 25th year, and said, you know, we've got a camera here. Can we get permission to not only tape a bit of the show, but can we get Whitney to mention to the audience that the Assembly Hall is celebrating its 25th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And not only did she say yes, but she did it in great, great fashion, if mm-hmm. you want to say that. She talked about what a great building to perform in that it was, and all mm-hmm. of a sudden we had tape rolling. It's somewhere in the archives. I don't know where it is right now. But all I remember is that Whitney Houston, who even then had a reputation for being kind of difficult,
uh-huh.
said yes, and happily so. And I was so, so proud of that.
Wow.
And she originally was going to perform, 6 months earlier with Kenny G as the opening act. Then she had throat problems, had to postpone the tour. She came back. Jonathan Butler, a jazz performer who had a hit song at the time, was the new opening act. And I thought the performance was really good. I liked it. She's not, you know, she doesn't have all the bells and whistles.
Right.
She kind of stands and sings. The tour pretty much got panned. Critics didn't really like it. She always kind of had a little bit of a disconnect with the audience live. But on record, she was phenomenal. And when she made TV appearances and stuff, she was phenomenal. And I'm sure she had moments that were phenomenal in concert. I thought it was good. I don't know if anyone out there is listening was at that performance, but her tours never really did that well.
Mm-hmm.
They did okay, but they didn't do as well as they thought because for some reason, she was always disconnected from the audience. And I can give you one more example.
Okay.
Of that. A lot of times, often anyway, the performers do meet and greets before or after a concert.
Right. I've got plenty of pictures in my archives from meet and greets at the Assembly
and
Hall.
And I may have set a few of those up.
Yes, I'm sure you did.
and so set one up for the next performance, which was in the 90s, the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And she's there. It's before the show. She's kind of dressed casually, but you walk in the room and you just, you know how sometimes you walk in a room and there's somebody that is just stands out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even though everybody knew who she was, there was like this aura. She was stunningly beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a little bit of attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And she was in a good mood. She smiled. I've got a picture with her. I should have brought it in. And she just looked at me with the contest winners there and said, okay, this is awkward. What do I do now?
Well, she didn't have somebody there to say what okay.
Usually,
or
as you know, Diana's done it too. I'm sure where usually there's a manager or somebody there to say okay, you know, no pictures or you pose for a quick picture, get in line, this kind of thing.
Yeah,
nothing like that. We were in a room, and it was just very casual. And so then I introduce her to the station and the winners and all that, and she was gracious, but it was like she was awkward. She felt awkward around. Real people, I guess you'd say.
What I didn't understand about Tony Bennett's argument about how drugs should be legalized because they're getting legal drugs. Now, I don't know if they're getting it through the black market or how they're getting it, but these are drugs that can be prescribed, and you've got doctors who will say, oh my God, this is a rich person,
who will do
and
it.
they'll fill it.
Tony Bennett doesn't want to talk about it, and he's an amazing man.
Yeah.
And I'm proud to say, I don't mean to name drop, but spend a lot of time with him, and he's just really amazing. But there was a time in his career when he was addicted to cocaine.
Right, and he fully acknowledged
and
that.
60 Minutes asked him about it, and he turned off the cameras, and then finally came back and talked about it. This was a profile 15 years ago or so. He was so upset that was brought to light.
Mm.
And I don't know, I think it was a crazy argument. I think, if you start legalizing drugs, this will happen more often. And people who don't become addicted are the ones in danger, really.
Well,
by driving,
I mean,
and so on and so
ultimately,
forth.
Ultimately, the thing that took her down was because even when you texted me and you said that you'd met Whitney Houston, I said, was that pre or post crack is whack?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, there are some drugs that, and you've always been told this, that you can become addicted to that drug the first time you take it.
Yeah.
And And it's true. And so I think there's lessons that can be pulled out of this and lessons that we can talk to our kids about or people that we know. And
her too. I think she was looking for a friend, and her friend
was
were drugs. She was under so much pressure. She made TV appearances singing because she was so highly touted 2 years before she had her first record. Mm. She was on the Merv Griffin Show singing nationally because her mother was famous. Mm-hmm. She sang with Elvis, a legendary gospel singer, her cousin, Dionne Warwick, her godmother, Aretha Franklin. Mm-hmm. She was under this incredible pressure. Her first album went gangbusters, you know, Saving All My Love for You and You Give Good Love and all the other hits on that. Yeah. She had like five hits off that album. Then, do you know what? She was expected to do it again. Imagine that pressure.
Yeah.
And then again, and she became this big superstar and all these pressures and everything and living up to other people's expectations.
Yeah.
You can ask the doctor about that tomorrow, but I bet that's part of it. She maybe felt like it was so hard to please and so much was expected of her.
We've been talking with Gary O'Brien. He's been sharing some of his just, you know, when you got to meet Whitney Houston, were you nervous? Was she just, she was friendly with you?
She was cordial.
Yeah.
Not overly friendly. I don't think that was her nature, to be honest. Yeah. Unless maybe you're another musician or something.
Right.
She was cordial. She was fine. She lit up the room.
Yeah.
She was strikingly beautiful. I wouldn't say I was nervous, but I certainly knew that she was there. She was...
You were among music royalty.
No question.
Yeah.
For real. And she seemed a little bit nervous, like I told you. She seemed like she wasn't comfortable in that situation. She seemed comfortable on stage, but, you know, again, maybe that says a little bit about her. And the second time we did Whitney Houston, the night before,
This would have been 95?
I think 95 was too late, early 90s.
Okay.
Whitney Houston was performing one night. The very next night, Mikhail Baryshnikov, you can argue that he, Rudolf Nureyev, and maybe a couple others were the greatest dancers of all time.
Yes.
Legendary dancer who fled Russia, became a movie star in the U.S., still.
White Knights. I love that movie. With Gregory Hines. Because I think Gregory Hines is hot, too.
Yeah.
So that to both of them in that movie, oh, boy.
Well, so that was a big movie. Baryshnikov, a mega superstar. He loved Whitney Houston.
Okay.
And he was in town early, and we actually had dinner with him at Olive Garden.
Oh, my God. At Olive Garden, huh?
Can you believe it? Olive Garden.
Can you remember what he ordered?
No.
Okay.
That was a long time ago. But it was cool. There was a whole bunch of us.
Bottomless breadsticks, Mikhail.
I know. And he loved Whitney, and he said he wanted to go to the show. So here's Mikhail Baryshnikov, and almost all the stars are shorter than you think they are.
Yeah.
So he's this, but he went to the concert, just he and a friend or a representative or something, really loved Whitney and wanted to meet her. So we went back and mentioned it to her manager, and who mentioned it to her, and she said, Mikhail Baryshnikov, and was really butchered his name, said, who the bleep is that?
Really?
And she said, no.
Wow. Women everywhere listening right now are going, what?
Gasping.
Because if I had the chance to meet Mikhail Baryshnikov, I would jump on that.
Well, normally I don't tell the kind of negative stories, but I mean, well, it just kind of...
But this is, right, and it's not negative, it's true.
She didn't know who he was, and she said no. So he stayed for about half the concert, then left. Her show was over, left. The White Oak Dance Company, which he was a part of, performed the next night. He was brilliant, and he was in Champaign, one of his favorite superstars. Would not meet him.
Wow.
Poor thing. Now, when she played at the Cajun Dome down in Lafayette, Louisiana, I was working for a top 40 radio station there, and she had the Cajun Dome shut down their air conditioning because of her frail vocal cords, and everybody was hot and steamy during that show. I mean, there must have been a few thousand of us that were just dripping wet. That was kind of diva-like.
I think these kind of stories, I was just going to use that word. If there is ever an example of a diva, she was it. Mm-hmm. She had great demand. She was apparently difficult, moody. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what, you know, as fans, to see her on stage, she was absolutely phenomenal.
Right.
She was amazing. But she absolutely had these issues. 7 years between albums.
Yeah.
And she was working. She just finished the principal shooting for Sparkle. The new movie is done, and it's believed that her parts are done. So it's supposed to come out this summer, the end of the summer, August, I believe.
That's
and
right.
So that could be the last thing that we see or hear from her.
Yeah.
It's with Jordan Sparks for American Idol.
Right.
So don't know. You kind of think that there'll be some singing in there.
Well, Gary, it's been an absolute pleasure talking with you today. Thank you for bringing in the local perspective on Whitney Houston and sharing the times that, you know, you got to spend with her.
Well, it was maybe all of 5 minutes, but...
That's more, 5 minutes more than most of us have ever had, you know what I mean? But also, you know, having to deal with her people and you know, putting on those shows that folks have been lucky enough to say, man, at least I got to see her live.
Yeah.
At least I got to see
two times
and hear
in our
something.
Own town. Yeah.
Incredible. So we will keep you posted on the news. And Gary, we'll see you again here on the radio on Friday.
American Idol.
Talking about American Idol. So, all righty. Thanks so much.
Thank you, guys.